out there to pay for stuff.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, August 8th, 2021. And today's worship service is being dedicated to the memory of my beloved grandmother, Emma Lucille Jones, because today would have been her birthday. But we want to welcome you to this morning's worship service. And I'm Bishop Shalene Cook. And of course, I am being joined by some phenomenal servants of God and the persons of my dear sister, Minister Gladys, and Minister Tina, and, of course, Mother Shirley is here with me this morning. So we are just so glad that you're here. We just want to welcome you. We pray that you will hear something on today that will truly uplift your spirit and bless your soul and cause you to live a more abundant life right now. Hallelujah. But we're going to go to, before we do anything, we must first open up this praise party in prayer. Hallelujah. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before your throne this morning just thanking you for yet another opportunity for us to come together as a family with one heart and one spirit to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we want to thank you, hallelujah, that you have blessed us to see yet another Sunday morning. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will enter into our worship service, Lord, because you are pleased with us, hallelujah, and you are being glorified. Lord, I pray for every servant leader present. I pray for every servant leader that is absent. Lord, we are praying that they are doing, we are praying that you bless them as they do the work of the kingdom, wherever you have them doing it this morning, Father God. And Father, we just want to bless your holy name for our listeners this morning. We pray that you prepare their hearts and minds to receive a holy and mighty word from you and you alone. And we just want to thank you. Thank you. Honor you, glorify you, praise you, and magnify you. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, Father God, we do pray it all. Amen and amen. Let the Church of God say amen.
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 This is my prayer.
Hallelujah. That's the beautiful, beautiful psalmist, Vicky Yohi, singing Increase. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday, we ask our beloved mother of the church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come forth and read from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince, entitled Destined to Reign. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you. The meditational reading is entitled, Your Sins Are Not Being Recorded. We'll be looking at Hebrews 8 and 12. And it reads thus, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, Pastor Prince starts out with a little story here, and I'm going to relate it just as he related it in his journal. I once read a comic book which showed how a man lusted after a woman, then died of a heart attack and went to heaven. In heaven, he saw a big screen showing everyone present a recording of all the sins which he had committed while on earth, including the last one. How embarrassing. Don't worry. That is not going to happen to you in heaven. There is no big screen with front row and circle seats for everyone to sit and watch your past sins. There is no video recorder in heaven recording your sins right now. Because your lifetime of sins has already been punished in the body of Jesus, God declares to you, your sins and lawless deeds I will by no means ever remember. This is true even for the Old Testament heroes of faith such as Abraham, Moses, and David. If you read Hebrews 11, which was written after the cross of Jesus, you will notice that there is no record of their sins or failures. Yet their life stories tell us that they were far from perfect. Abraham lied twice about his wife Sarah. He told Pharaoh and later King Absalom that she was his sister to protect his own life. Moses killed an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew and hid the body in the sand. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and later arranged for her husband to be killed in battle. Yet their sins were not recorded in Hebrews 11, only their deeds done in faith. God is showing you that he does not record your sins or failures today. Instead, he records your faith, confessions, and deeds done in response to what his son has done for you. Every time you sin, every time you waver in your faith, God does not record it, but every time you believe him and respond in faith, he records it. That should not make you want to sin more. It should free you to love God more. So don't be conscious of your failures. If God himself does not remember them, who are you to remember them? Be conscious instead of your righteousness in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, and you will reign in life, Romans 5 and 17. May the Lord add favor and blessings to the hearers, readers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thought for the day, don't be conscious of your failures because God himself does not remember them. Amen.
Thank you. then regard it to say, in love.
In Lord, my territory.
I say, in love.
In Lord, my territory.
Charlotte, sing this part.
Thank you, Jesus. Increase my territory. But when you pray that prayer, hallelujah, you better be prepared to do the work. Hallelujah. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we simply come together as a family, with one heart set and mindset, one spirit. And we lift up our brothers and sisters around the world. Yes, we stand in the gap for our lost loved ones and coworkers and people that we meet. We stand in the gap for the hurting, the abused. We stand in the gap for those who are oppressed and truly feeling as though they are less. We lift up all of God's children around the world to let God know that we understand that he is omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, because he is Father God. So at this time, I would like to ask that our anointed apostle Zeta Flowers comes forth, and she will lead us this morning once again in prayer. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Let's go to the throne of grace. Father God, we come to you this morning with our heads and our hearts bowed unto you. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you for all that you do for us, your children. We thank you that we can depend upon you and know that when we come to you and when we ask things that we need, we know that you will grant them. And so we come to you now in the behalf of others. We lift up the world situation to you right now in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you would move all across the world, all across this nation, that you will touch in the name of Jesus, that you will bring things to order. We pray for peace this morning, peace, peace, hallelujah, all over the world in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. We know that there is chaos everywhere. And we ask, Lord, that you would move in a supernatural way by your Spirit in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, remember those, hallelujah, the nations that are fighting against nations. We ask, Lord, that you would step in the name of Jesus, that you would bring order in the name of Jesus. Bless over in South Africa, hallelujah, Jamaica, Haiti, hallelujah, all across the nation, India, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, everywhere, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We lift up those, Lord, that are not saved. We ask, Lord, that you would draw them unto you in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, and help us, Lord, as your instruments, that we might bring souls into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray for those, Lord, that are shut in. We pray for those, Lord, that are ailing, the sick, the elderly, in the name of Jesus, all over. Hallelujah. We pray for them, Lord, that you would touch, that you would move, that you would send those, Lord, with a heart of compassion, that they might be able to minister to them, Lord, that they might be well, that they might be healed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, those in the hospitals and those that are in prisons, we ask, Lord, that you would remember them today. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, oh, God, that you would touch those that have served more than enough time. We pray, Lord, that you will release them, that they will be released, Lord, in your care. Hallelujah, serving you. Hallelujah, lifting you up, Lord, living for you in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it. We thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, if there are any sick among us, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would heal in the name of Jesus, that you would touch. Hallelujah, that you would send. Hallelujah, the right ones. Hallelujah, that would pray for them. Hallelujah, that will give them a lift. Hallelujah, that they would be of a support in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, pray for the Spirit Alive Ministries today. We ask, Lord, that you would move, continue to move in a mighty way in this ministry.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes,
Bishop
Lord.
Bishop Shirlene Cook this morning, asking, Lord, that you would continue to bless her. Hallelujah. You
Thank
know
you,
what she stands in need of today. We ask, Lord, that
Thank
you would move
you.
Accordingly in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. We lift up Mother Mitchell right now.
Yes.
In the name of
yes,
Jesus, asking, Lord, that you would just touch her. Hallelujah.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, strengthen her even the more, God. In
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name, have your way. Have your way in her life, Lord. Hallelujah. You know all about her. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God, make a way. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, in those areas that she needs, hallelujah, for you to step in. In Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, let there not be any lack, Lord, but abundance. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we
yes,
just
thank
you, thank
you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We thank you, and we praise you today, hallelujah, for all that you're doing for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all those that we are concerned about, you said to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. So we cast these cares upon you this morning in the name of Jesus, knowing that you're going to move in each situation. We pray, Lord, for those that need a breakthrough this morning. Hallelujah. Those, anybody that's listening in, hallelujah. We pray for our breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pray for financial blessings in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we know that you want to bless us. You said that you would, that you, hallelujah, that you would do more than we could ever think or ask for according to the power, hallelujah, that's in us, the power that comes through you in Jesus' name, according to Ephesians 3:20. Hallelujah. We ask of that of you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You said, ask and we shall receive. Hallelujah. Seek, hallelujah, and we will find. Knock and the doors will be open unto us. Hallelujah. We ask that you would do that for us today, Lord, in Jesus' holy and righteous name. And we thank you and we praise you for all that you're doing right now in our behalf and the behalf of others across this nation. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
1, 2, 3, 4.
He'll
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, we'd like to say good morning to you, beautiful family of faith. It is now time for this morning's message from God's holy word. And today, our transformational journey to purpose will take us to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and we will be looking at verses 19 through 42. And while you find it, I will have a word of prayer. O Most High, I come before your throne, thanking you once again for an opportunity to go out and speak a word to your people. But Lord, I ask that I decrease and you increase so that they will hear your voice and your word. I pray in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that the word will empower, impact, activate, and equip your people so that they can live a more abundant life in you. And Lord, I pray that after this message, somebody that doesn't know you and the pardon of their sin will come and ask you to be their Lord and their Savior. And it is in Jesus' name that I do pray all things. Amen. And to God be all honor and glory. Hallelujah. Now, if you have been with us for the last several weeks, then you know that as children of God, we have been fearfully and wonderfully made by him to be in relationship with and service to him through the demonstration of our faith, love, and work in Christ Jesus by serving others. We have all been created on purpose with a purpose, and we have been uniquely gifted by God to carry out his purpose in our lives according to his holy will and his holy word. And it's really important to me that all of us truly know and understand our purpose. Because when we're not doing then we're not in God's will. And not being in God's will is not a place that any of us should want to be. Now, last week, I touched briefly on a few hindrances to making our purpose a gift to others, such as the fear of rejection, failure, or commitment. And I reminded everyone that we can't be limited by what we think of our abilities or what others even think of them, because our God is a God of all possibilities. But now, just as some of us Christians put limits on ourselves, we also put limits on God. Now, saints, just the thought of that is enough to make me clutch my pearls and gasp in terror for them. Because in our text today, we are going to look at how God's people actually limited the Holy One of Israel by their sins and their foolishness. So, can man of the church today really and truly limit God's purpose and intentions? Well, if we look within the context of this psalm, we're going to find out that not only we do, and we will, just as Israel did. So my question for us today is, am I limiting God? Now let's go to our text. Hallelujah. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 19. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the sea, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. So they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their cravings, but while their food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility, and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Hallelujah. Psalm 78:41 makes an astounding statement. You see, here we are told that by their sins and foolishness that God's people actually limited the Holy One of Israel. And I came to tell somebody this morning that you or I may have done or could be doing the exact same thing right now. But there are two great principles to be found in Psalm 78:41. The first one we see is God is ready and longing to do great things for and through us. The whole psalm demonstrates this. You see, God is waiting to be our sufficiency. He's waiting to be El Shaddai and to use us in blessing the world. But God is frequently prevented from proving his sufficiency in the lives of his people. Why? It's all because of how we see him. You see? So what does it mean to limit something? A limit is a point or level beyond which something does not or may not extend or pass. The terminal point or boundary of an area or movement. The furthest extent of one's physical or mental endurance. A restriction on the size or amount of something permissible or possible, etc. For example, the limits of presidential power, the city limits, or someone may be testing your patience to the limit. But I want you to stop and think about who we are limiting when we limit God. We are limiting the God, our Father, the Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer of mankind. We are limiting the Sovereign God. In Matthew 19:26, we are limiting the one with whom all things are possible. We are limiting the God of Genesis 18:14 because we are limiting the one with whom nothing is too hard. We are limiting the God of Hebrews 13:8 that says his power is just the same today as it was yesterday. Now look, saints, the Bible harbors the record of God using ordinary people, David, Joseph, Mary, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. The little boy who had the lunch in John 6.
Yes.
Peter, Paul, Gideon, Moses, Esther, Jacob, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Mary, and the list can go on and on and on. Now, I don't know about you, but it behooves me how anyone can read all of these wonderful passages in the Bible and see all of these great examples, but can still say to themselves, I am a failure, so God can never use me. Ooh, sounded all like Peter. We act as though we're a problem that God can't solve. Some of us feel that we have so many minuses that we can't help but wonder if God can use us. But see, Peter learned his lesson. Because in 1 Peter 5 and 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that in due time he may exalt you. See, saints, the story of the entire Bible is about God using ordinary people.
Yes.
To do extraordinary things.
Yes, Lord.
In extraordinary ways. As Apostle David just reminded us, we cannot forget Ephesians 3 and 20. Now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we could ever dare to ask or even think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. You see, God placed gifting in each of us so that he could use us the way he wants to. Because God takes broken people and he makes them whole.
Amen.
Why? Because he's awesome like that.
Yes, he is.
He's just awesome like that. He's just good like
preach,
that.
Girl, preach.
You know.
Preach. Yes.
In Jeremiah 32:17, he says, I am the Lord, the God of all people.
Yes.
Nothing is too difficult for me. In Isaiah 40:28, have you not known? Have you not seen? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Psalm 8, 3-4 says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? What a God. Deuteronomy 10 and 17 says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great and mighty and the awesome God who is not partial and who does not take a bribe. See, he's just like that. Job 11 and 8, the sky is no limit for God, but it lies beyond your reach. God knows the world of the dead, but you do not know it. God's greatness is broader than the earth, wider than the sea. If God arrests you and brings you to trial, who is there to stop him? God knows which people are worthless. He sees their evil deeds. God's power is unlimited. He needs no teachers to guide or correct him. Others have praised God for what he's done. So join with them. That's what Job said in chapter 36, 22-24. See, I need you to get this down in your sanctified soul, the kind of God that we serve. 1 Kings 8 and 27 says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house, which I have built. Saints, in this psalm we just read, it was Israel that was limiting God. Today, it's his church. It's Christians. Note this. God's problem is not with the world. It is with his own people. See, these are days of spiritual indifference These are days of apostasy. But these conditions are inside of the church. And God says in 2 Chronicles 7:13 through 14, when I shut up the heaven so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. You see, saints, we got to stop looking out the window and start looking in the mirror, because God's problem is not with the atheist. His problem is not with the agnostic or the infidel or the devotees to modern godlessness or political movements or the New Age religion. God's problem is with his own people who limit him. He addresses us in Psalm 78:1. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. But let me tell you, right now I'm going to share with you some ways that the Israelites and us displease God just from this psalm alone. First of all, we limit God by our disobedience. Psalm 78:10 said they did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. The one fundamental thing of God blessing his people is for his people to be obedient, which simply means that we will gladly and unquestionably do whatever God says, when he says, how he says, where he says.
Yeah.
So how do you stand in this regard? Are you an obedient Christian? Are you a disobedient Christian? Because we can find in the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 7, verse 10, and then chapter 14 and 7, he breaks it down to us like this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. You are my friends if you do what I command. In 1 John chapter 3, 21 through 24, we find these words. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him everything or anything we ask, because we keep his commands and we do what pleases him. And this is the command, hear me, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. So you see, disobedience limits God in our lives. Sin separates us from God. So if we're not doing what we're being told, how will he be able to bless us? Jeremiah 11:6 says, and the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Thus saith Matthew in the 7th chapter and the 24th verse. And then let us not leave Dr. Luke out of the equation, because in chapter 6, verses 46, he says, the Lord said, why do you call me Lord, 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 but not do what I say?
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to call Jesus Lord, you need to be doing what he says. And then you know Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Paul says in Romans 2:13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be declared righteous. So we limit God in our lives when we're disobedient to him. And we limit God by our forgetfulness. Psalm 78:11 says, they forgot that what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors and in the land of Egypt and in the region of Zoan. Excuse me. He divided the sea and led them through. Mm-hmm. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with the cloud by day and with the light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the sea. He brought streams out of the rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers.
Yeah.
But they continued to sin against him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. How many mighty things has God done for us? You see, he's delivered us, guarded us, guided us, answered our prayer. Then as the days have gone by, some of us have forgotten about him.
Yeah.
You know, once he answers those prayers and things are going really well, we forget to pray. We forget to say, thank you, Jesus. We get that job. We pray and pray and pray for that job. God blesses us, and then we forget to go back and say, thank you. Just like 9 of the 10 that Jesus healed from leprosy. You see, forgetfulness limits God in our lives. And then we limit God by our unbelief. Psalm 78:19, 20, 22, and 32 says, yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Well, can he give bread to us also? Mm-mm-mm. Can he provide meat for his people? Because they did not believe in God, and they did not trust in his salvation. And when he blessed them in front of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous work. Some of us are guilty of committing this sin. Okay? God blessing us out of Zion. We having all our needs met. But yet, we want more. You know, well, I would have really believed it if he would have did this too. You know, Jesus explains in Matthew 17:19-20. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. But I want to tell you something. Unbelief is a paralyzing sin. And not only does it paralyze us because we're afraid to step out on faith, we're afraid of rejection, we're afraid of acceptance, it paralyzes us and it limits God. In Mark 9:23, we see these words. If you can, that's what Jesus is asking, said Jesus. Everything is possible for one who believes. He's saying, are you serious? You confess to know who my Father is, and you can still stand there to fix some words to come out of your mouth with so little power and so little conviction that you can't even move yourself, let alone a mountain. I tell you another way we limit God in our lives. By constant murmuring and complaining. Psalm 78:40 says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. We want to thank you for your grace and mercy. It's one thing to grieve somebody anywhere, but to grieve them in the wilderness and the desert. In Jude, 1st chapter 5, says, so I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt. But later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. Their murmurings were in what they said and what they did against God and his servant. 1 Corinthians 10:7, do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 33,000 of them died. We should not test Jesus as some of them did. Because, see, they were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did. Because they were killed by the destroying angel. They murmured against God. Well, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Excuse me. Didn't you just see him part that Red Sea and hold them walls up? And just think about it. The creatures of the water were still there. Every last one of them. So they can walk through this water, looking at all these creatures being held up by the mighty power of God, and all they got to say is, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Oh, Lord Jesus. We limit God by our worldliness and by our sin. Psalm 78:33 says, so he ended their days in futility. Huh. And surely a modern word for this could well be worldliness. Many of us are just too worldly. We fail to realize that our citizenship is in heaven, that the Lord has called us out of the world and has forbidden us to love the world. Just like he said in 1 John 2:15-7. So what is your answer to Psalm 4:2? How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusion and seek false gods? You see, worldliness limits God in our lives. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. 5:25, your sins have withheld good things from you. God will fill and empower with his Holy Spirit any vessel, a small vessel, a large vessel, a twisted vessel, a young vessel, an old vessel, an educated vessel, an uneducated vessel. Don't think he can't fill as a dirty vessel. Uh-huh. But he can fill any vessel. We limit God by our insincerity. Look at the serious charge made in Psalm 78:36-37. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. We got some folks that's doing that. See, it's easy to all run up in the church house and sing I have favored him, you know. But do you really mean what you're singing? You know. Oh, you're ready to run up in the church and sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. It never loses its power. Do you believe what you're singing? See, in Matthew 15, 8 through 9, we find these words. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. See, the Lord calls such people in Matthew 15, 7, hypocrites. He said Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Now, let me tell you what insincerity really means in the life of a child of God. It means inconsistency in your life and in your testimony. Insincerity means you say you're doing things for the Lord, but you're really doing it to further you. Insincerity means when somebody tells you, you know what, my brother and sister, I really like the way God is working through you. And instead of you saying thank you, to God be the glory, you say, oh, it's nothing. It's the least I can do. Because what you're really saying is go ahead on. Pat me on the back some more. Yeah. Tell me I'm wonderful again.
Yeah. Preach it, girl.
Preach on. Insincerity doesn't fly in the face of our mighty God. Nor can we be going out talking about how we love Jesus on Sunday, and then our testimony on Monday is a mean-spirited, hateful, uncompassionate person. See, that's why they call us hypocrites now. That's why the world thinks we're nothing but a bunch of elitist hypocrites. Because, see, they know for themselves Jesus is supposed to be love. But when they get around some of us, they ain't feeling the love, y'all. Okay, they're not even feeling the light from you, some of the people. And we limit God by our ingratitude. Now, when we read, when you have time, I want you to read Psalms 78, 42 through 72, and then you're going to notice how they describe the love, the patience, and the compassion of the Lord in spite of our sins and our foolishness. In verse 3, we see in verse 43, we see his intervention. In verses 44 through 51, we see his guidance. In verse 55, we see his provision. In verses 59 through 72, we see his chastening, his correction. See, some of us need to learn how to simply tell God, thank you. Some of us need to learn how to simply tell God, I am satisfied. Some of us need to simply learn how to tell God, hallelujah. God, if you never do another thing for me in my life, you have already done enough.
Yeah.
See, but too many of us, as I said earlier, God is blessing us out of Zion. But instead of saying thank you, we're saying, well, can he do this? Can he still do that? You know. Because we limit God, which leads to the next thing. We limit God by our idolatry. Psalm 78:58 says, they angered him with their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. Example, just as in number 25, at Shittim, Moabite women invited Israeli men to their sacrifice. And Phinehas killed them both in the tent and having sex. An idol is anything, but I want you to know today that an idol is anything that comes between you and God.
Yeah.
It's anything that you put in the place of God. It can be a habit, a friend, a hobby, a sport, a car, anything. But idolatry limits God in our lives. So today, I want us all to pray David's prayer that's found in Psalm 139, 23 through 24, where he says, search me, God, and know my heart.
Yes.
Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You see, what God is saying to all of his children is, don't you ever say, can God?
Yeah.
What you should be shouting is, God can.
Yeah.
You see, I don't know what you face today. I don't know what needs you have. But don't limit God by your ignorance. Don't limit God by your doubt. Don't limit God by your unbelief. Don't limit God by trying to jump up and do things in and of yourself. We have a great God. He made the world. He flung the stars from his very fingertips. He keeps everything in order by the word of his mighty power. He is the great I am. And he is the God of love and mercy, who wants to provide all of your needs. So I ask you, are you discouraged today? Are you downcast, downtrodden, down-spirited, just down? Does it look as though no one can ever or will ever help you? Does it look like there's no hope on any side, wherever you look? Well, beloved, I came to tell you this morning, stop looking around and start looking up. That's all you need to do. See, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. And many of us miss significant opportunities in our lives because we have grown accustomed to the status quo. Some of us refuse to make room in our thinking for new things that God wants us to do in our lives. When a great opportunity comes along, rather than launching out in faith, they say, well, that can never happen to me, or that's too good to be true. Look, it's time for us to stop limiting God. And we need to start remembering all day, every day, that he is the source of our supply, our creativity, and our resources are unlimited. Hallelujah. We need to understand that God is infinite. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-capable. There are no limits restricting God. Yet, despite this, we as his followers tend to minimize his unlimited power by our stinking, erroneous thinking. That's what we do. We will look at some promises of God's word that will dispel that anti-biblical thinking and open us up to receiving the unlimited, unmeasurable blessings of God. But what do? Nah. That can't be right. My Lord. Or it's true for everybody else, but it's not for me. Now, like I said, people knowing their God-given purpose is very important to me. So I want you to join me in this intercessory prayer for limits being removed. And I'm going to pray according to the Holy Scripture. Father, behold, I believe that you are doing a new thing. And I believe that it is springing forth. Hallelujah. And we believe you. We know that you can make a way in the wilderness.
Yeah.
You can make a way in the rivers. And Lord God, you can make a way in the desert. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, we understand and know that in and of ourselves, we'll fall short and things can be impossible. But with you, O Lord, all things are possible.
Yeah.
Lord, O my Lord, O God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched hand. Nothing is too difficult for you. Father God, I am just an ordinary person who has found your extraordinary love. And I want to be used by you. I want you to increase me, Lord, so that the world through me might see you. I want you to take the limits off, Father God. As I take the limits off of you, I pray that I walk in more freedom. So today, oh God, we're praying that you just take the limits off and use us any way that you want to use us. We want to go higher in you today, oh God. And it is in Jesus' mighty name we do pray it all. Amen and amen. To God be the glory. I pray that you have received something from this message that will bless you on today. Hallelujah. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask my two beautiful sisters. I'm going to ask both of them. I'm going to ask Minister Tina to extend an invitation to you that you might come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. When Minister Tina is through with her invitation, I am going to ask that Minister Gladys pray for our new converts. Amen. Minister Tina, please come forward.
Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, just asking you to open the hearts and minds of those who are listening right now, who want to know
Jesus.
You, Lord, who want to come to
Lord.
You and have you in their life, Lord. So if you would just say this prayer with me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and Savior. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he will forgive me of my sins. I make your Son, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister Gladys, come on in and pray for those new converts.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, we come into you, Lord Jesus, Lord. Lifting up our brothers and sisters that have come into the word, Lord, seeking you, Lord Jesus, Lord, asking you to come into their lives, Father God, Lord, just as you did, Father God, with open hearts, Lord. We thanking you this morning, Lord. We know that heaven is rejoicing, Father God, Lord, and we're rejoicing just as well, Father God. And we ask them, Lord, that you give them strength, Father God, Lord, to look
give them strength.
You with comfort. Help in their strength, Father God, Lord. Look to you for all things and give you thanks for everything, Father God, Lord. Lord, we just thanking you, Lord, for their salvation, Lord Jesus, Lord.
Yeah.
We thanking you, Lord, they have a humble heart, Lord, and hearken to your word, Father God, Lord, and is willing to live and do your word, Father God, Lord. I'm praying these things, Father God, for them, Father God, Lord, that you will continue, Lord, to lift them up, raise them up, Lord, let no hurt, harm, or danger come before them, Father God, Lord, and let them look to you for strength, for help, for everything, Father God, Lord. These things we ask in Jesus' name, Father God.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask Mother Mitchell to come forth, and I just want her to pray for our purpose as the Holy Spirit leads her. Amen.
Most gracious Father, we just come to your throne, just thanking you for this day, thanking you for everyone who knows their purpose and for those who don't know their purpose, that they will have the courage to come and approach you, Lord, and let you help them figure out what their purpose is. Lord, once they know what their purpose is, give them the courage to do whatever that purpose is.
Yes,
if you say, go, ask them, help, give them the courage to go, Father God. If you say, sit still, give them the courage, instead of just running around in circles, the courage to sit still and wait on the Lord and know that you are God Almighty. Thank you, my Father, for that you give us what we need in our purpose for our lives. Give us the strength to do what you want us to do, Father God. Help us to know, once that we know what that is, to do it without murmuring and complaining and questioning your awesome and mighty grace, because it's all sufficient.
Amen.
We thank you, Father God, for it, and we thank you for every good thing that you give us in our lives, Lord. We bless and thank you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You have been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. If there is anyone present that would also like to have a take a moment and have a moment of praise, we would just like to tell you to press your one, and this will alert me that you would like to have put your praise on it this morning. I just want to praise God for the three beautiful servant leaders that are here today. I want to thank God for Minister Tina, for Minister Gladys, and, of course, for my beautiful mother, Mother Mitchell. I just want to thank all of you for being in the house this morning and for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. We all have a purpose that God gave us. He created us, and he gave it to us. We need to believe him and trust in him in all of our ways and all that we do. So, anyway, today it was more about the message was preached. And at this time, I'm going to ask Mother Mitchell to come and bring us the benediction. Hallelujah. And I will dismiss you. And I want to thank these beautiful sisters for praying. Hallelujah. Because what they need right now, when it comes to purpose, is not a bunch of rhetoric. What they need is prayer. Amen.
Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, we pray that you have truly enjoyed this worship service on today. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow on Taking It to the Streets, we will be talking about unleashing our full potential in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then on Tuesday, join Pastor Lester Carver for Tuesday teaching. For more information about us, you may find dates and listings right in the body of each and every one of our programs. Hallelujah. So, from our house to your house, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, we love you, and so does mighty God. Have a blessed week, everyone. Thank you, my beautiful sisters.
Thank you.
Love you. Love you. Love you, Gladys. Love you. God bless you.
Love you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. I love you. Bye-bye.